Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast. We've got a big show lined up tonight. Lots of cool things to talk about. A wonderful guest to delve into what all he does. This is Dr. John. First of all, I'm very proud to announce that tonight, available on Amazon through Kindle, is Lizard Man, Bigfoot, and Friends, the book of brand new cryptid stories from myself, Dr. John, and Matthew Delf, with Kirk Petzmazis and his wonderful, wonderful illustrations. So that is now available at Amazon on Kindle. It will be available as a paperback tomorrow. So very pleased that they finally made it out. Now be sure to listen to me, Dr. John, tomorrow night on para-x.com radio, The Journey with Jen Krause. We're going to be I'm her guest on her podcast, The Journey, and we're going to be talking about Bigfoot, Lizardman, Bigfoot and Friends, and just a whole host of great topics. So please join us tomorrow night for that. I'll have a link on ScaryCast, and we'll frankly have a link everywhere, so I hope you can join us on that. This coming weekend, I will be, along with Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling, Ronald Rossman, Eric Dion, and Eastern Exotics, and a whole bunch of great people will be at the Camden, South Carolina Comic-Con at the Camden Shrine Club just north of town in Camden, South Carolina. That's about 30 minutes outside of Columbia. So we're going to have a big time there, and look forward to seeing everybody, all the friends of both Comic-Con stars and ScaryCast. And I'll be there, and lots of folks will be there. So please come and join us at the Camden, South Carolina Comic-Con from 10 to 6 this Saturday, March the 3rd. It'll be a good time. Anyway, tonight I am very privileged to have field investigator John Dixon. Now, John, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, John.
We are glad to have you. I want to briefly tell everyone how we met. We met under very, very unusual and good circumstances. Last year, I was running the Bigfoot Day celebration in Kingsport, Tennessee, and you and your wife and your son walked up, came to the event, said hello. We started talking, and we about haven't stopped talking since, have we?
We sure haven't.
Yeah, it's great to have you here with us. I want to tell everybody about your qualifications, first of all, and then I want to talk about each of these and how they relate to what you do. First of all, when we were discussing the paranormal this past year at Bigfoot Day, we started talking about MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and it turns out that you are a field investigator for the Tennessee branch of MUFON. And then you told me that you are a certified paranormal investigator through the Warren Institute of Paranormal Studies, and you're also a member of the Paranexus Association. So those are three important organizations that you work with. And so, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and how did you end up doing what you do in the paranormal and UFO world? That's always a good way to start out.
Well, John, first of all, thank you again for having me on tonight. I'd like to say that, as with any testimony, credibility matters. So I want, for the sake of our listeners, for them to understand that I didn't grow up with an overactive imagination. I did not have a diagnosis with fantasy prone personality or anything of that nature. I didn't grow up pulled in on the paranormal or UFOs, ghosts and goblins, witchcraft and such. You know, the most ghosts that I seen probably were on Scooby-Doo or Casper. Things of that nature, and that was about the extent of that as far as growing up. So it wasn't a part of my life, but I did watch Star Trek and The Planet of the Apes, and then suddenly I found out as time passed I became a man, and I was taught when you become a man you put away childish things and go to work like everyone else. So that's what I did, but that's not entirely true because I still watch Star Trek and I still enjoy The Planet of the Apes. So it's
well, that's good.
It's important, you know, as far as credibility goes, for the listening audience to know that, I don't have that overactive imagination. I've never had it, although I've been creative with things. I hold credentials as an ordained minister with the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee. That has to be very well earned and is a respectable title that people look to. I'm a family man with strong work ethics, and I just happen to believe that there are supernatural forces at work in the world that can make a man or break a man. And I also am not naive enough to think that we're the only people that are, might say people, creatures, whatever people might prefer, but I just don't think we're alone in the universe. I grew up in rather rough circumstances. Those circumstances left me with a lot of questions when it came to good and evil. But somehow, in the midst of those questions, I had an understanding that things boiled down to basically God and the devil. But the funny thing is, I had no religious teachings in my background. So as far as credibility goes, you know, it's not one of those freaky type things that some people would see it as, but it's all scientific. There's scientific method that is used in paranormal investigation and in investigating UFO reports that is very important, because as you disprove things, it just gets you closer to being able to prove the real thing when it does manifest and happen in someone's life. So, you know, it's important that to me that people know that what they hear tonight is coming from a credible witness. And
well, I can assure everyone that you are, and everything that you said, it seems to be very factual, very true, and you've referred me to several pretty interesting folks. So I would say we got a really good, credible guest on tonight. Continue, kind sir.
So what I discovered is that man's battles are spiritual, and that there are spiritual things taking place around us that can't be seen. And man really don't understand all these things at times, but I didn't understand them for sure because I didn't know anything about religion or God or the devil or anything like that. But again, I say it all came down to me having an understanding that that's where a lot of things really lay. I noticed something one day that we had in our house was a large family Bible that had full color pictures in it. And we never read it, of course, because my dad, he was a truck driver. He was going over the road. And then when he came off the road, he was just wild, and the environment was not good at all. But I found myself drawn to this family Bible, and I was captivated by the pictures of angels with swords and fighting off demonic creatures. And just through pictures, it didn't take me long to find out that there's a real battle of good and evil going on in this world around us. And that's what brought me to study the paranormal, because I found that there are people that are hurting, that are troubled, that are oppressed and depressed and possessed by spirits that are working in this world, and they cannot, through the methods of mankind, find a way to get relief. So when it comes to the paranormal end of things, I would have to say that the bulk of my work in the paranormal society is that of working with people that are under oppression, that deal with demonic possessions, things of that nature. You know, I'm not big into going on to a haunted location, because there are people that are haunted that I'm more concerned about. So, and in that, I'm able to go out and talk with people and work with them and get to know them, and through scientific method and through certain practices, be able to find out what's really going on in their life. And I had to have some foundation to what I was doing, because even in being an ordained minister, some religious sects would say, you know, that you can't focus on God so much. You can't focus on the devil. You've got to be this or that. But I tried to say that if I'm going to use that word as a foundation, I have to have an understanding of what's going on around me. And one thing that I found that the scripture was teaching that was, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's where the fight is, John. That's where it is when it comes to the paranormal for me and the people that I work with and assist and help to escape situations that sometimes are deadly, devastating, heartbreaking, destruction. You know, God's word said the thief come not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I understand that that happens through these principalities, these powers and rulers of darkness of this world that are waging war with spiritual wickedness in high places against man. And my battle is to be in the gap with those people and help them to find deliverance, so to speak.
Okay. That's really interesting. So now, that's a little bit about your philosophy. Now, tell us, I guess the first thing I'd like for you to share with everybody is a little bit about your involvement with Tennessee MUFON, and are people really seeing UFOs these days? Now, I think they are, but I'd like for you to tell them.
They are. There's no question that people are seeing UFOs. You know, there's all kinds of sightings. I mean, anybody can go on to the MUFON website, MUFON.com, and there is a track UFO map. You can actually click onto that link, and it will bring up where the last active UFO was, give you a little bit of information about it. But you can also scroll down a little bit on that same tab, and it'll come up to last 20 cases reported. And like just today, I'm looking at reports where UFOs were seen in Texas and Decatur, Georgia, Colorado, Tulsa, Oklahoma, just some of those places. You know, I'm just seeing come up that these are reports that have come in just today where people have reported unidentified flying objects to MUFON. And what happens from that point is that report gets to a state director, and the director assigns that to a field investigator such as myself. At that point, you know, I will take the case, make contact with the witness, have a conversation with them about what they've seen. And then just like any other investigation, we would dig into it and begin to see what was happening. The big thing is we want to work to try to disprove it in order to prove that there are unidentified flying objects actually out there today. A lot of things can be proven that they are man-made. A lot of things can be dismissed as aircraft, weather balloons, Chinese lanterns, all kinds of things, meteor showers, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, there are sightings taking place out there, and people are seeing them, and it's happening. I mean, it's happening even right now somewhere in the world. Someone's seen an unidentified flying object, and sometimes it strikes fear into the individual. Other times, they're not too excited about it, but there's a lot going on, and I'm looking at least 20 reports that have come in just recently today at the MUFON network.
Well, let me ask you this. What percentage would you say of the reports that you get turn out to be unexplainable versus explainable?
Most reports that we get, I don't know exactly what percentage to put on it, but most of the reports that we do receive can be explained with enough investigation and a proper investigation. Things can be explained, but there are those occasional events where someone has seen and experienced a close encounter that, you know, that cannot be explained, and events take place and people have experiences, and out of that, then they end up having to require even further investigation. And sometimes, you know, it's just a reality that people have to accept. There are things out there that we don't understand. And for us to think that we're alone in this universe would make us very naive.
Well, I certainly agree. You know, I always felt that way. Now, I live here in South Carolina, and what would be the latest report? What would be the latest sighting from South Carolina? Is that something you can easily take a look at?
Not without actually logging in to the bigger network, which I have the capability of doing, but it's quite time consuming because it's not actually broke down per state. But just over the today, I'm not seeing anything that has been reported out of South Carolina as far as the last 20 events go. But I do see them on here occasionally. You know, sometimes I see several a week that are reported out of South Carolina. Some people think, you know, that even here in Tennessee that there's not a lot of reports, but sometimes there are reports, and, you know, there's more than what people would really think about when it comes down to unidentified flying objects.
Well, yeah, I can certainly imagine. Now, have you seen any?
Oh, I've seen, I had an experience. My first close encounter would have been back in the mid to late 70s in the summertime when I was 8 to 10 years old. That would have been my first close encounter with an unidentified flying object that I had no knowledge of anything like that even existing because, as I said earlier, I wasn't aware of these things. I wasn't taught about these things. I didn't know they existed until one night that I stepped out on the front porch with my dad and my uncle, and my uncle was leaving late one night to go home, and just between my two neighbors' homes just across the road, there were three large orbs appeared, and they sat there in a horizontal position, and we watched those for some time. Now, you have to understand, I grew up in a rural area. I was surrounded by cows, creeks, trees, and farmland. So what I saw was not a military exercise. It wasn't a Chinese lantern. It was not anything from the aviation world as we know it. It could not be explained then, and it has not been explained to date that I'm aware of, and that's been over 40 years ago. And when these orbs came up between my neighbor's house, I knew that there was nothing back there except acres of cow pasture, cattle that were on them, and a huge pond. So when these three orbs popped up out of the valley, immediately it caught our attention, and we were drawn to it. And they sit there for some time and just maintained a slight hovering motion like they were watching us. There were no noises. There were no blinking lights. This was not three helicopters. This was not a hot air balloon. This was not a weather balloon. This was not man-made. But they just sit there as if they were watching us as we watched them. In a few minutes, one of those orbs broke off to the west, just suddenly just disappeared. That's how quickly it moved. I mean, it was like zip, it was gone. And when it disappeared, the other two remained in the horizontal position for a minute. And then the one to the left, it suddenly just zoomed off to the east and disappeared again. These orbs made no sound. They were bright. They were huge. I don't know if they were manned vessels. Again, I can say that I am confident they were not man-made. They have never been explained. And the third one, it remained there in the position that it was in all along, until just in a few minutes, the one that had gone to the west, it came back and took its position beside that one that was in the center. Minutes later, the one that had gone to the east, it came back and took its position beside the one that was in the center. At that point, as they sat there horizontally, they turned together in a vertical position, and then they turned back to a horizontal position. and they did this numerous times as if they were making the symbol of a cross, is what I would call it. The funny thing is,
wow,
as freaky as this was, I wasn't terrified of it. I was thinking, you know, what's going on here? Now, my dad and my uncle both have passed, but I can't even recall the conversation that the two of them were having about it. Of course, I was just a kid, so I wasn't really being brought in the conversation. I was just sitting there in awe of what was taking place. But I watched these orbs make this movement from the horizontal position to the vertical position repetitively, as if though they were making a cross. And then a few minutes, they come horizontal again, and one took off, and he was gone. And he never came back. The two remained there, and they made the movement. Horizontal to vertical, vertical to horizontal, did it numerous times, and then just sat there hovering, and the one shot off to the east, and it never showed up again. The one that was in the center, it stayed there for some time. We watched it into the night as it just hovered and slightly moved east to west, west to east, just slight movement. And then suddenly it just took off straight up into the sky and just disappeared out of sight. Again, no noise, no additional lighting or nothing. And that was my first close encounter with being able to say that I'd actually seen and experienced an unidentified flying object. Because again, to me, I'm confident it was not man-made. It has never been explained. And if it has, I'm sure not aware of it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, that's a great story. That would be a good story to put in a book, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
Maybe we've done that, haven't we?
Maybe we've done that and put that in there.
Maybe
now,
we have. That's
a good story.
I enjoy doing that interview with you. It was a lot of fun. That's a great story. So is that what initially got you interested in UFOs?
That is, being my first experience, I had thought about that and meditated on that throughout my life. Many times I would go out from that point forward, probably, I'm going to say advanced 10 years, probably my late teens, emerging adult years, 21, 23 years of age. I would be traveling and I would see orbs that were similar, and I would pull over and watch them, and I would like to say that I felt like that orb was actually following me or maybe even leading me at times. But I focused on watching them for some time throughout the years, but I never really got consumed with trying to jump in and study out and figure out what it was, what had happened, what I was experiencing. And again, for one reason, like I said, you know, holding credentials as a Church of God minister, you know, some of these people look at you in the religious sect, and if you say something like what I'm talking about right now, they're so naive, they don't understand that if God could create this earth and create man in his image and put him on this planet, what says that God couldn't have created others and have them in other parts of the universe, or even other universes as far as that goes? You know,
well,
if God
I think
man says he is, you know, so this
yeah.
religious sect would condemn that. My thoughts and wording of some things that I've experienced, but they don't even stop to consider that there are numerous scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about things that have been seen by man and that man could not explain, but yet it is similar to what some of us see today as unidentified flying objects.
You're 100% right. I mean, it's all over a lot of the paintings from the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s. In fact, John, if I may, I would like to. A friend of mine, your good friend of mine, told me about a very interesting verse in the Bible that I had never read before. Can I share that with you and with everybody else?
Sure.
Okay, let me see if I can find that. And while we do, I'll share with you an interesting story. My father, I was in college, and there were lots of notifications of sightings in the Winston-Salem Journal Sentinel about UFOs, like in the previous couple of weeks. And my folks came by. I was a sophomore, and they said, "We'll take you home, feed you, and let you have a good time this weekend, and don't bother studying." And I said, "Sure, that's great." So we were driving back from Winston-Salem to Morganton. We got to the main Morganton exit, and I happened to look up in the air, and there was an electric green cigar-shaped object. It was, above us, but to the right of the car, probably, maybe a couple hundred feet up. And I said, "Look at that up there. Look up to the right." We were on a straight stretch of road, so my dad looked up, and he saw it. My mother was in the back seat. She looked up and saw it. And that's the quietest I ever heard the car get. my father supervised furniture factories, and my mother was a nurse. And this didn't have anything to do with what they really wanted to talk about. We never to this day, I mean, or at least they've passed away, we never, ever talked about this. And it was just amazing when it happened. There wasn't anything we could do about it. It was there. We never talked about it. I asked my parents about it the next day. And you know that old phrase that parents will pull sometime? Well, we'll talk about that later.
Later.
That phrase?
Later never
came. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. And we never talked about that anymore. And that was like, it was amazing. But yet we all saw it. We know what we saw. There wasn't a lot we could do about it. But
exactly.
It was just amazing, and that was the first time that I'd always wanted to see a UFO. Then, boy, once I saw it, I didn't want to see anymore. Did you ever feel that way, John?
I've felt that way about some things before.
Yeah, and so that was my first experience, and my parents certainly didn't want to talk about it. It was outside of the scope of our activity to talk about UFOs, because they always thought I was crazy. I was always into the universal monsters and everything, and they just thought I lived in too much of a fantasy world. But I don't know now. Now that I am the chairman of the Lizard Man Festival in Bishopville, and I run the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference in Kingsport at Bays Mountain Park, which, by the way, you will be attending and speaking at, won't you, kind sir?
Yes, I will be.
That's good, and also we want to have you at a couple of other events. We are planning Asheville CryptoCon, a cryptozoology conference that will be in January. But now let's face it, we're going to have paranormal. We're going to have everything there that everybody likes. So hopefully you can make it over there. As I told a friend of mine, I don't care if it snows. People in the mountains know how to drive through snow, don't we?
We can make it happen. We can get there. Yes.
We can, and as I said, this is a buddy of mine from the coast of North Carolina. He said, "Why on earth would you have a conference in Asheville in January?" I said, "Well, if people don't know how to make it, we don't want them there anyway, right, John?"
Exactly. Exactly.
That's exactly right.
People will be there that are supposed to be there.
That is exactly right. But back to the issue at hand. It's great that you've done this. How long ago did you become a certified field investigator, and how did you get hooked up with MUFON of Tennessee?
I'm a recent certified field investigator, not that long with MUFON. To be honest with you, I never knew there was anything such as MUFON. They've been around forever, You know, it's they've been around since 1969. They once were the Midwest UFO Network, but once it outgrew that, it became a worldwide organization, and all of a sudden now you've got the Mutual UFO Network. But I was not familiar with it because, you know, like I said, when I became a man, I put away childish things, so to speak, and now
you deal with UFOs. That's right.
And the next thing I knew, I come to learn about the MUFON, and as I learned about it, and as I was spending more and more time on the public website and seeing some of the reports that were posting, and you can go on there and you can read what the descriptions of what people have put in there and things, and sometimes they post pictures. You're able to look at those, and the more I read and studied on this, I just got this driving desire that I'd like to be able to be a part of this organization, and it was brought to my attention that they offer a course, a class, as far as becoming a certified field investigator, and I said I'm going to take that course. And It's not nothing to sneeze at. It's really mean. You have to pay the price of studying the material. You actually have to make, I think, better than an 84 on the exam to pass it. And it's not just a pass or fail. You know, there's certain standards set, and a lot of it is scientific. A lot of it's common sense. A lot of it does with how you conduct interviews and confidentiality and all things of that nature, because it's not a fly-by-night organization. Like I say, been around since 1969. It has the goal of investigate UFO sightings, promote UFO research, and educate the public on UFO phenomenon. So, you know, it's a serious business.
I want to stop you right there. Would I be correct in saying that next year would be the 50th anniversary?
If that's how it calculates, they were 1969, so.
So 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. Yeah, I believe that we're heading up to the 50th anniversary of MUFON.
So that's pretty
year.
Awesome within itself.
Well, it is. Well, I guess I'll have to talk with you and some of your MUFON people, and we might have to have a little celebration next year at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference in 2019.
Wouldn't be anything wrong
with
celebrating, that's for sure. Wouldn't be
I think it's a great thing to celebrate. Heck, no, there's not. So I tell you what, we'll get on that one, and we'll see if we can't celebrate 50th anniversary of MUFON next year at up in Kingsport at the third annual Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I think that would be fun. In fact, that's how, I don't know if you know the story of how the Bigfoot Conference started, but I was on the phone here, or actually on Comic-Con Stars, and we were interviewing Bill Lancaster, who has just completed his documentary, Cultured Bigfoot. And he was mentioning how it was in about 8 weeks, 8-9 weeks, was the 50th anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin footage of Bigfoot. And you know me and my big mouth, John. I said, well, that sounds like something that we should celebrate. That's wonderful. You know me. It sounds like you're like me. We both like to celebrate good things, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I said, well, we're
going
to do
good things.
And then the next day I said, well, what am I going to do? I just made a pretty big promise. And I looked, and there were 37 people heard me. I said, well, I can't go back on that. So I started calling around Kingsport, Tennessee. And I wandered into Bays Mountain Park. Those folks have been so nice. It's part of the city of Kingsport. They were very, very supportive of Bigfoot Day. Could not ask for a better partner. And they asked us back this year, and looks like it's going to be an annual event. So that's how this whole thing started. And my goodness, there are plenty of people listening to us tonight. And so folks who are listening in, just stay tuned with ScaryCast. And you'll find out how we will do our part to celebrate the 50th anniversary of that grand old institution, MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. So let your state director know that I'll be giving her a call sooner than later, and we'll see what we can do, okay?
All right, that sounds good. She's a great person, so I'm sure she'd be excited about that.
Oh, heck yeah. I've talked to her several times, and I hope to get her down to some of our events. She's a super lady. So anyway, that's what I've got to say there. Now, we've got some other things that I want to talk with you about. You are a certified paranormal investigator through the Warren Institute of Paranormal Studies. First of all, who's Mr. Warren? Tell us about him,
Joshua,
and then tell us about the process you went through.
Joshua P. Warren, the paranormal professor. He's very well known. I mean, he's on a lot of things that you would see on History Channel, Discovery Channel. You know, you see him from time to time. He's very well known, respected, renowned paranormal investigator, big with the Brown Mountain Lights and things of that nature. He has a paranormal museum and the Ghost Asheville Ghost Walks. He actually is involved in that. But he also operates Warren Institute Paranormal Studies, where he teaches, of course, it's virtual or web. You go in and he teaches the courses on paranormal. And again, you have to pass the exam in order to become a certified investigator with him. It's not just fly-by-night organization. And he's a pretty neat guy, just what little bit that I have got to talk with him and communicate with him, mainly, you know, through text and emails and things of that nature. But he's a pretty awesome guy. And the courses that he teaches, they're solid. It's not flaky stuff. He really gets down to studies of ghosts and cryptids and UFOs and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's important if you're going to do this kind of work. To me, it's important that you have suitable training and not be fly-by-night, be affiliated with someone who has a solid background in it in order to be able to go out and take part in some of these things. You know, if you walk up on the scene and places, you know, you want to have access, you need identification. You need to say, okay, I'm John Dixon. I'm a MUFON field investigator. I'm here to investigate what just took place over here. Well, and being associated with MUFON, I can show my credentials. I can provide that up front. It makes access much easier. It makes people accept you more. They see you as a professional. They're not just seeing someone say, oh, you know, I'm a ufologist and I've not had one day's training. I'm self-taught. And that's okay in its realm. But if you're going to do this as business, so to speak, and you're going to be involved with people, then the credibility, again, is important. Credentialing with the proper people are important, and that's the way it is with Joshua P. Warren and Warren Institute of Paranormal Studies. I chose him mainly because of his background, his involvement in the paranormal, and him being local. That mattered. To me, there were places, you know, there's places that one can seek out, just like through Paranexus. They offer metaphysical training. They also have certified paranormal investigator courses through Paranexus organization, but it's not local. It's not someone within a reasonable distance that you can say that's your umbrella. And that's how I came to be in that. Very, very deep in his coursework that he teaches, and something that I learned so much from him just in the time that I was there. It's like five courses. You can spread it out over however long, but he offers it from time to time, and a person just needs to look on Warren Institute of Paranormal Studies. Sometimes he offers a special price on it, and they can access it and take the exam and hopefully become paranormal investigator themselves.
Yeah, and how long did it take you to study to do that?
I spent probably several hours. I don't know as far as, you know, it took days. You know, it's a course that, you know, people could probably do in a weekend or something of that nature if they're prepared to put in, you know, 20, 40 hours in the training and really absorb it and learn it and take the exam. So,
yeah, so it sounds like it's fairly rigorous, and you enjoyed learning all that a lot, didn't you?
I enjoyed learning from him, yes, and gleaning from his personal experiences and hearing some of what he himself had experienced and some of what was real, how to access places, to contact people. He even makes that happen, you know, helps you understand, you know, there are ways that you approach people to find out about locations and situations where stuff is happening. So if you're in a downtime and you want to be doing some research and digging, he even takes the time to teach you how to go about that without really being a pain to people. And it's really neat.
Well, that's great. So you definitely would recommend that to most anybody.
I'd recommend
that,
it to anyone
wants to get serious,
you know,
about it.
You know, also, you know, the Paranexus training within itself, my friend Ed Schuenberger, who runs Ed's Ghost Journeys up in Mount Holly, Pennsylvania, he's certified paranormal investigator through the Paranexus Network, and they offer that training through Thomas Francis University, I think it is, but it's an online course, and it's affordable. You know, I'm not very familiar with it. I didn't participate in that one. I wanted to take coursework that I felt would be more beneficial to me and to those that I would be ministering to. So, and now the MUFON certification, that's a whole different thing. You know, you've got to really be prepared to put in some time. I mean, there's a handbook and there's all kinds of study and coursework. And you really have to pay the price to sit down and read this book, consume this information, understand this information before you can actually go out there and say you're going to investigate a UFO report. And even at that, you know, I've had to call on the state director, and even we'll be calling on her this week again, because, you know, sometimes the hardest thing you have is to connect with the witness, and you're waiting to talk with them and to try to hear from them firsthand what they've experienced.
Right. What was one of the most, now I know you have to keep some level of confidentiality, but what was one of the most interesting investigations that you could tell us about that you've had? Doesn't matter whether it's paranormal or UFO, just, you know, whichever one.
Well, I'll just talk a little bit about a couple of them if that's okay. But
that'd be great.
One was is that I was doing an investigation at a property that was for sale, and a beautiful, beautiful mountain cabin on a hillside that located in the mountains, just a beautiful property, but everything around it was sailing. It was on sale, you know, and everybody was purchasing up all these places around it, but this place just would not sell. And I wanted to see the property, so I went to the property and I made an appointment with the realtor. And when I got there, the realtor wasn't there, so I went ahead and went up onto the porch of the place. And I was sitting up there on the porch at the cabin, and my wife and my son had come along with me as well. And when the realtor comes, she parked in the main road and wouldn't come up to the house. And I thought right away that was very unusual. So she tells me from the road what the keypad number is to get the door open, and we go inside and looked everything over, and it looked real good. I mean, everything's just beautiful. It's It was a picture-perfect log cabin that anybody would want to have. But there was something in the pit of my stomach that just made me physically sick about being there.
Okay.
And as I began to investigate this property, the realtor, again, she was so far out of touch. I went back and spent time at this property, and while we were at this property, I was just feeling in myself something is not right here, and began to perform investigation in a sense that I came home the night from it, and I was physically iller than I was so sick, and I had never in my lifetime been so sick before. And I got a revelation that night that there was a suicide in that house. And so the next day I got with this realtor, and I wanted to talk to her, and finally got her to come to the porch. And I said, ma'am, I'm just going to start telling you some things about this property, and I need you to confirm for me yes, no, or you can not tell me anything. I said, the reason this property is not selling is because there's an entity here. There's a demonic presence here that caused the man that lived here to take his life. And anybody that comes through that door is experiencing a foul sickness. Well, she got all shook up right away, you know. And then she said, yeah, there was something like a suicide here, but it was on this porch. He was right here in this chair. Well, I knew that wasn't true, you know. I mean, the investigation had proved out otherwise. It was inside the house. And we had offered to do a cleansing, but it wasn't allowed. And I don't know whatever happened to the property, but I just, that one stays with me because of the physical effect that it had on me, the drainage and the sickness that came through it. But, you know, that was a very strange paranormal experience, but opened up to my understanding that I had additional gifting to be able to learn things in the supernatural realm that some people just could not pick up on, and I was spot on with those. And then to actually get the lady to the porch, that was another thing when she would finally admit that yes, these things happened here. So that was pretty unique within itself. That's one experience that stays with me that I just never forget about. There have been others, you know, where we've actually been in, I don't want to use the term exorcism too loosely, but I've experienced partaking in those as well as being involved in the paranormal realm. There have been people that have been oppressed that have opened themselves up to demonic spirits and have allowed themselves to become possessed to a degree that where we've had to undergo certain things, and it's not like you would see on TV, you know, splashing on holy water and things of this nature, but, you know, it can be quite frightening. Those are the things that scare me sometimes, because the supernatural forces are so real. But
exactly.
You know, that's some of the things in that realm. When I think about these UFOs, some of the casework, you know, like got a couple of cases going right now, one in Knoxville and one down near Middle Tennessee that we're looking into. But, you know, there's sometimes it's really hard to discern the photographs that the people send, and you have to do a lot of research and things of that nature in order to be able to dig out from under them. But you know, myself, I've had experience beyond the sighting of a UFO. I could talk about a close encounter to where I actually had contact with what I call an alien being, if you'd like to talk about that.
Well, sure. That sounds great.
Some people might refer to some of the things you would experience or feel like a sleep paralysis, but I know a difference between sleep paralysis and what is an actual event that took place in my life. Again, I have to remind people in the religious community sometimes that they can't discount these things because no one was there in the beginning. No one knows what's out there. You know, we can't say something is or is not and not know. You know, it's like our cryptids being these undiscovered creatures that we've not seen as of yet. So, you know, there are things out there that we have yet to discover. And I have to remind the religious community sometimes, you know, you need to understand, even according to the scripture, you know, when it comes to the UFOs, I think about how when Moses brought the children out of Egypt and they were in the desert and the Lord was leading them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Well, you know, to me, that very well could have been a UFO that was leading those folks. We talk about Elijah being caught up in a chariot of fire, Ezekiel talking about a wheel within a wheel that comes spinning down with different colored lights flashing on it, things. All these things being scriptural. So for the religious community out there and these folks that are religious that don't understand, don't discount and don't throw away the facts that are right before us, that there are other things out there than us. I mean, we can't be so naive that we're going to step back and say that we're the only living beings in the universe, because I just can't believe that, because I've had my own personal experience with creatures that are not of our world. And when I say that, I say that I experienced contact with a gray. And what happened was, is my right knee, sometime back, I pretty well blew it out. And it got down to the point to where it was bone on bone. And I was going to the orthopedic surgeon, and I was getting injections in my leg just to be able to tolerate it and stand on it because of the damage at the right knee. Well, one night I went to bed and I was in severe pain. Of course, I've got all these medications for pain, so yeah, it wasn't a hallucination due to medication because I built tolerance to it, and I was taking my medication regular. I went to bed that night, and in a state similar to sleep paralysis, and that's coming in or going out but not being able to move, I opened my eyes, and out of a presence that was near my bed. I'm a light sleeper, so if anybody walks near me or comes in the room or anything of that nature, I immediately respond to it. So this happened on the night that when I'd gone to bed in severe pain with my knee, and I was awakened by a presence in the room, and when I opened my eyes, I saw this slender gray figure standing there at my leg, and I began to feel a pain in my knee, and I noticed that he's taking his hand, a long finger, and was pressing it into my leg, and I could feel the pain, and it was just immediately like that he gave an anesthesia to me, and I was becoming groggy and just passed out under that anesthesia, and I went back to sleep. I woke up 2-3 hours later to absolutely no pain in my right knee. I stood up on it, no pain in the right knee. I walked on it, no pain in my right knee. This has been months ago, and I have not been back to doctors to receive another injection in that knee because I am very confident that I had contact with an alien being that came to me and performed some sort of operation that corrected the damage in my knee. Now, my wife and son don't understand how this happened when I explained to them about the visitation of the creature. But they cannot deny the fact that my knee is better. And this is the same with the x-rays and things at the doctors. So when I talk to the orthopedic doctors, they say, well, we don't want to take more x-rays because we don't like to give people too much radiation. But if you don't need it, you don't need it. And, John, I'm here to tell you, my friend, I don't need it. Because since that took place, I have not experienced pain in that right knee any longer. So when you have an experience like this, it's hard to sit back and say, we're the only ones that are here. I know that as men, we want to be able to say that we've got a grasp on everything and that we know what this universe is all about and we've got a lockdown on everything happening around us, but reality is we don't. And it would be better if we would open ourselves up to the truth and realize that there could be more to this world, more to this life, more to this universe than we've ever stopped to think about and accept this. And maybe then we could begin to experience some of these greater things. Now, I know that a lot of abductees and things, they talk about procedures and unpleasant things that happen to them when they're abducted. Well, I can't testify to that, but I can testify that I have experienced a healing through contact. Now, you know, people might want to lock me up and put me away in a rubber room or whatever that might be, but the truth is what it is. And there's no more difficulty with that knee. So,
well, that's
the only
way
I can explain it is that there was a surgery took place.
There was a something that took place, whatever it was.
It happened, and it was real. So, you know, that's an encounter that I've had as far as an actual contact, you know. I mean, there was no torturing me, no fear. Again, you know, as I woke up due to the pain that was taking place as the tools or finger or whatever it was that he was going into this leg, and there were no markings on my knee where anything had taken place. But through whatever method was used, you know, when I was waking up due to the severe pain, it was just like that the being knew we need to administer more anesthesia. And immediately I was out. And it was over. So, you know, that's something that I live with, that I experienced, that was as real as our conversation is tonight.
Well, if it's the way it is, that's the way it is. I mean,
it's the way it is.
You could say. That's right. Now, on your resume, on this brief resume that we put up about you, you got another thing on here, the Paranexus Anomalous Research Association. Tell us about Paranexus and how are you involved with that?
Paranexus is a network of certified paranormal researchers. It's not a ghost hunting fraternity. It's not a bunch of amateur investigators. It's not a social group or social outlet. It is actually an exclusive association of anomalous researchers. And we can go on to the Paranexus Network and throughout the world if we need to be in contact with other paranormal investigators or we have things to share, we have questions that we need to address, then we're able to go about and do that. They also offer, like I said, all certifications. They offer training and testing to help equip people for the work of the paranormal.
Gotcha.
I find it very good. It's where I came to become friends and network with my good friend Ed Schuenberger up in Mount Holly, Pennsylvania. I found him through the network, but he does what's called Ed's Ghost Journeys, and he does a lot of things at Gettysburg, Cashtown Inn, and things of that nature. He does ghost hunts and those kind of locations and things of that matter. But, you know, I came to know him through the network. I come to find out in the state of Tennessee there are only three other members to the Paranexus network, and they must have either gave up the ghost or have gone into retirement, because I seem to be the only active one trying to get anything going from time to time in this state. But there's a whole directory that lists each state and places worldwide, as far as New Zealand, the Philippines, Scotland, the United Kingdom, Australia, Brazil, Canada. You know, they're paranormal investigators that belong to this anomalous research group worldwide. And we can come together here and learn about things and share things and draw from those things. And it just makes a big difference.
Exactly. Well, you know, it certainly does. And it's great that you met some good people through that and you know, able to network and everything. And maybe we can get a couple of those people to join us, you know, at Tennessee Bigfoot or whatever, because we've got a lot of opportunities where folks can come together, discuss things, do networking, and enjoy some programs. So, you know, hopefully this will be the start of, you know, something really good. But
and it
anyway,
very well could
be,
you know.
Yeah, and so I guess what I'll say is I really appreciate you taking your time to tell us about these three areas. And what are you looking to do in the future in terms of your you know, being a field investigator? What are you looking forward to doing, and how do you intend to grow in this? Because that's always a good question to ask people, you know.
One good thing that I like about MUFON is they offer as well what they call MUFON University. So they have a lot of additional opportunity for you to learn, and I've already begun to take some of those courses, because I think it's important that, especially being a newcomer, I need to learn all I can and absorb everything that I can about what's happening and be able to get the education. That's important. So I like that about MUFON, and that's one thing I intend to do is continue the courses in the MUFON University to learn as much as I can to be able to apply it in the field. I'm hoping soon to be able to get into some more in-depth investigation. Right now, the investigations that I've been involved in, you know, they're touch-and-go situations. Again, it's very hard with people's work schedules and the things that they have going on in their personal lives and everything that people encounter today. Sometimes it's just hard because of time itself to really sit down and talk to the witness. But, you know, I want to be able to spend more time with the witness. And what I find is the longer time span from the time they have their experience passes that you can get to that point, sometimes some things get lost and you miss out. So that's why I hope that in the future that on some investigations that I'll actually be able to get into some places where some people have the actual time to talk about what they experienced. You know, it's like, again, when I just reloaded the for tonight, and, you know, there's some things going on all around. You know, like here in Decatur, Georgia, a guy, he was driving to work and saw things on his left. You know, well, what did he see? We need more than that. You understand what I'm saying? The information. So then another fellow sees out in Oklahoma a boomerang type image near a plane, but it stopped in midair and had no tail. It was just like full wing. Another report of a NASA feed where two UFOs enter the atmosphere. Black triangles, silent, observed in west to east direction. So, you know, there's things happening out there right now. And this is a public website that people can go to, MUFON.com, and it's a tab that says Track UFO, Live UFO Map, or Case Management System. Now, they can see the last 20 sightings, the last 20 reports in the case management system, but only a field investigator can access the case management system itself and get the details of what that person saw and really look at things. But even the public can look at some of the pictures and the videos that are posted, and it's just we're hoping in the future to be able to engage in more in-depth investigation and become more active and spend more time doing it.
Well, that sounds wonderful, and it sounds like you're on good path, good track to do some interesting things, meet some great people, and I can say that we certainly look forward to having you at Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so I guess with that, do you have anything you would like to plug, anything you got going on in the next short while or whatever you'd like to let people know about?
Not nothing right away, nothing that's really happening in the very near future. So, not for this moment, but, most folks, they can find me at Parkway Paranormal is a website, and also they could email me at parkwayparanormal@gmail.com. That way they can reach out to me. I mean, if they have a UFO report, or if they have a paranormal situation that they're encountering, they need help with, they can make contact with me that way, and we can see what we can do to debunk or prove otherwise, and see what we can do to help folks.
Now, I want to make sure something. You said Parkway Paranormal website. Is that parkwayparanormal.com?
Yes.
Okay, parkwayparanormal.com. That's a website where people can reach you.
Yeah, and if it's still under construction, but should be accessible. Also, again, the email address is parkwayparanormal@gmail. So.
All right, good. Well, if anybody has any questions,
I mean,
or
if they have questions or whatever, they can email them to me, and I'll do my best to try to help them however possible.
Well, that's great, John. Well, look, thank you very much for being with us here on ScaredCast. We've enjoyed having you. We hope to have you back sometime, we'll look forward to seeing you at Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. That's going to be October 19th, 20th, 21st at the Bays Mountain Park in Kingsport, Tennessee, real near where you are. And so what I'll tell everybody is be sure to join us this weekend for the Camden, South Carolina Comic-Con in Camden, South Carolina. And next week on ScaryCast, we will have Matthew Delf, my co-author for Lizardman, Bigfoot, and Friends. We'll have Matthew Delf and his buddy Sam Deloach of MECRO, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. They got a lot of research that they're working on, a lot of neat things, and so they're going to tell us all about them. I'll close with this. Be sure to join me tomorrow night with Jen Krause on The Journey on para-x.com radio. I'll be talking about the new book that is out tonight, Lizardman, Bigfoot, and Friends. Everybody get a copy. So thanks a lot, and check the ScaryCast.com website and find the link to it. So I want to thank everybody for listening in. I want to thank our guest, John Dixon. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All righty, and we will see everybody next week on ScaryCast. Have a good one.